It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is KZNS AM Salt Lake City.
KZNS FM Colvin 97.5 1280 The Zone.
And The Zone Sports Network.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love.
We're not going anywhere. We ride here.
With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Is the Unrivaled program day number two. Day two, Scott. How do you feel about day number two? Everything feeling pretty good? I feel kind of a little bit nervous because you and I don't eat cookies or donuts or eclairs. We're off of the stuff, but Tom and his crew here at the warehouse in Salt Lake City, 1825 South and 3rd West. Our Tour de Fans has brought us here from General RV. Another stop and another amazing place for us to be. Is this Rock the Cradle of Love? They just call it Cradle of Love,
Cradle,
right?
Of Love, yeah.
Yeah, my bad.
So, Billy opened the show with this, and then he ended the show with White Wedding. So
that's how you have to – well, that's how you have to do it. Johnny's like, oh, you can't tell people the set list. How dare you, dude? You can't roll up and do that. My heavens.
Yeah,
but that's
everything
how he
that happened
you.
In between that was really
that was
remarkable.
A little bit. That was a little bit longer.
Crazy.
Oh, it was awesome. Okay, well, that's good.
I mean, if you're into Billy Idol and 80 music.
Yeah, Billy Idol's our band of the day here. Brought to you by Live Nation Now. We are here at the warehouse, like we said, the rest of the afternoon. You can come down and get some jazz gear. Johnny's like, I got to make sure we have enough. Yes, you do. We still have some jazz gear. We'll bust it out here for you. You can also come down. Have Scott sign your Utah gear, by the way. He'll do it, right? You just got to bring the Sharpie. Sometimes we can wrangle one up around here, but sometimes – oh, no, we got Sharpies here. We got Sharpies. We're set up. Come down and have your Utah gear signed by the leading pastor in Utah history, Scott Mitchell. We've got so many things to get to here, and I want to jump into a weird situation. You talk about the Nick Rolovich thing we've already talked about a little bit with BYU going up to Wazoo this week, but you've also got this weird situation in Philadelphia. And the NBA, I love to see big teams having big drama and big problems. And so that's where we're going to start things off. It's our cut at the top of the hour. Let's do it. So as we get things going here on the cut, Scott, I wanted to ask you about Ben Simmons' deal. Because when you watch professional athletes doing their thing, when you watch professional athletes like Ben Simmons complain about what he's going through, or in his case, just kind of be a pouty baby about it all, and you see that the team has suspended him, it's likely he's not going to be playing in Friday's game as well. And that might be because the team is keeping that suspension going, or that's because he just won't do it. The team came together for their first win of the season. They had a team dinner, which I thought was hilarious. When they say there was a team dinner, like, when you hear that, what do you think to yourself? Like, do you roll your eyes, or do you think, okay, they're trying to figure it out here, but you have a massive diva who's ruining it for everybody else?
Well, first of all, I'm trying to think of who – what player I played with who was actually a diva, who is actually like this kind of distraction. And I look at my time and I played with some of the biggest divas there are. Oh, the biggest diva. In fact, Ray Lewis, when I was with the Ravens, he goes, you know what Muhammad Ali and I have in common, don't you? Right.
What was it?
And I kind of, you know, I stumbled into it. And so I said, no, I don't. What do you have in common? And he goes, that we're the greatest of all time. And he says, don't ever forget that. So, you know, I've had a lot of teammates who were who were like thought very highly of themselves. But I never.
That's a healthy thing. I wish
I never ran into a situation like this with Ben Simmons. Like it's beyond bizarre to me how he is just like just basically a train wreck, and he's gone into this place of being so pouty and so selfish and so full of drama, and really kind of been very disrespectful. A part of the foundational things that make basketball players great, and that's their work and their practice time. And he's been difficult in those time in those things. He's not been a professional about things. He's not been on par with you know the rest of the team. And so he's really kind of disenfranchised himself from everyone else. And I don't know many players that do that. Like if you've got a beef with the front office, whether it's your contract or you're not happy about things, whatever it might be, it doesn't carry over to your teammates. Like you always have that common bond with teammates, and you always like care about your teammates and who they are, and everyone just knows, you know, you got to deal with your situation, right? You got to take care of your own business. It's your own life. It's your own livelihood. So players usually don't get involved in contract disputes or other disputes. So this is a really odd situation. But here's the reality with Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons has kind of lost his right to be difficult. Like he just really has. He if he was playing well.
Dan Marino never lost that right, by the way. Right?
Dan Marino was like. He had three lockers, Alex. No, and I'm not kidding. He literally, everyone had one.
Like spread around the locker room.
He had space. He had real estate, right? In the locker room, everyone's got this locker. And not only did he have space, but he had a chair, like what we're sitting on, this beautiful couch here at the warehouse. And everyone else sat on a stool. I mean, he didn't even have a backrest, you know. But
what's the Dolphins' problem? Getting everybody stools instead of actual chairs. I guess back then the cool thing to have a massive locker room.
No, it's not. It's not like they have the pods now, where the players have their own personal space. It was a locker room, you know.
Well,
and it wasn't considered. I mean, it had the Miami Dolphins logo. It had the colors on our stool. I mean, it was a nice stool.
But
he had a chair.
So he gets a leather chair to sit in.
But here's the point.
He deserved it.
Is like everyone goes like they were okay with it. Like it wasn't odd. Like it wasn't crazy. It wasn't you weren't like, "Oh man, Marino's so full of himself. He was so tired of his antics and he feels like he's, you know, he's the franchise and he's this." And he was, and everybody knew that he was, and there were these diva things that went on. But it was normal. It was okay. It was like, well, of course you should have three lockers. And of course they should give you a new set of clothes, practice, and everything to go and do every single day. Like everyone else had a laundry bag and they just washed your laundry. And then with Marino, they never washed his laundry because he got new clothes every day to go to practice. So and that was fine. And that was totally okay.
Yeah. Well, now the
Now Barry Sanders was a different one.
Well, okay, what? Because in my mind, Barry Sanders wasn't a diva. He just probably kept more to himself.
No, see, Barry Sanders was a passive aggressive diva.
Oh,
so he was a very quiet guy. Like you know, and he was the guy that he never spiked the football. Yeah, right,
he exuded humility and on the football.
Oh
field,
yeah,
Scott,
and he was just this aw shucks guy, you know. But when it came down to it, it was very important. The Barry Sanders name was on the front of everything. And like you would go into a game and they would have all of the seats. So you walk into the stadium and they'd have a sign that said Barry. Like, you know, and that's, you know you're a diva when it's not Barry Sanders. It's just Barry. Right? So he had that. And any time that Barry Sanders touched the ball, you know, everyone waves their signs and all of these things. But take no mistake about it. Barry Sanders was one of these guys that was like, I I'm a big deal and I need to be the king of the hill and I need to be respected and I need people to kiss the ring, and I need to have people know.
But
that
see, all this is
I'm
happening
really, really.
But
important.
Barry went out on his own terms. He went out earlier than people wanted. Ben Simmons, people are like, get out. And he's going, I want to be out. I want to be traded. I want that. But the deal is like that he has 4 years on his deal. This is a former number one pick. And so they think that they deserve.
Well, that's why the NFL doesn't have guaranteed contracts. It's the diva situation.
Well,
right?
So
they can get rid of you without, you know, NBA, you're stuck with it.
Speaking of the NFL, because I thought, I don't care what an offensive lineman in the NFL thinks about this situation, except I like Jason Kelsey's take on this thing. This is he plays in Philadelphia for the Eagles. He's one of their guards. And he just said on the Ben Simmons saga, he was like, first of all, why are you asking me? And they said, well, playing in Philadelphia is not an easy thing to do, right? In itself. Playing there as
any
an opposing team.
Any place that boos Santa Claus is not a good place to play. Great place to play.
So Jason Kelsey says, just play better, dude. Philadelphia will love you. Just go in there. Swallow whatever weird pride it is that you've got now. And
but Ben Simmons can't shoot the basketball. How do you play better if you can't shoot the basketball?
He's saying hit the gym, kid. He's saying go hit the gym, take some jumpers. Scott, you and I could play in Philadelphia if we took enough jumpers.
Exactly.
that's all it takes.
I'm going to go out in my garage and my driveway and
Scott,
start shooting baskets
right
now.
Just play better. You could
because I want to go to
76ers.
Philadelphia.
Yeah, I
could actually see why Ben Simmons wouldn't want to play in Philadelphia. But I also – look – you got to read your audience. You got to know where you are. You have to understand the city and the people that are really going to be behind you or really not going to be behind you. And this is like it's blue collar. People want you to be like, you know, get down in the dirt and really Vince Papale and Invincible as movie as it was really real life for people in Philadelphia. And that they want to know they have tough minded people. And when things are difficult and they're hard, they want them to show up. And that's what they want from Ben Simmons.
Okay.
Ben, you stunk in the playoffs. You were terrible in the playoffs. We want you to come back with humility and say, it's unacceptable. And I'm going to play harder right now, as opposed to I'm taking my basketball. I'm going to be a child, and I'm going to be a jerk, and I'm going to leave here. And that's what they're really saying to Ben Simmons.
So Howard Eskin, who reports on the Eagles, and he's a sports radio host up there in Philadelphia, says that according to sources, the 76ers say Ben Simmons is likely faking his injury and mental illness, which is what he's cited for kind of what's going on with him right now. So he says that he's injured. He has an ongoing mental illness situation, so he's gonna get paid still, and he wants to make sure that everybody knows that. And then you have a GM in Daryl Morey who says we want a difference maker in return for a guy who's not making any difference right now, by the way, because I don't that. So when they have to lean on, hey man, we want a difference maker in return for this guy, and everybody goes, well, isn't he injured, and doesn't he say that he's suffering from some mental illness right now? Like This is not, you know, we want this guy to get taken care of. We want him to take care of himself. And then he goes, no, he's faking it. That's a bad, weird place to be in. And then he even leans on the fact that he says, this thing could go on for 4 years, the length of his contract. And it makes it sound like it would be a bad thing for us, but we're willing to do it if we're not going to get the right person in return. Jazz fans need to be massively – all this comes back to this. Jazz fans need to count their blessings, Scott. Think about how bad the situation is in other places. L.A., I don't care what you say, you have LeBron James. Right now, you're a dysfunction, okay? All the things that are going on in all of the basketball world, there are very few franchises like the Jazz that can say, we have this culture and we don't have this problem. We don't have the egos that are taking over so much. The problem that the Jazz are having is just – hey, just dialing up some chemistry things here and there and figuring out how to manage injuries. Count your dang blessings, Jazz fans, because I'm telling you, it could be worse. It could be Ben Simmons pouting his way out of here. Could you imagine if LeBron or if Donovan Mitchell? I guess it wouldn't be Donovan Mitchell. It'd have to be somebody like Rudy, I guess, in terms of a comparable player. So not in style or anything, but just to say their number one player is Joel Embiid, right?
Right.
The Jazz's number one player is Donovan Mitchell. If you heard that, I apologize, but just for this example, go along with me here. And then you say if Rudy Gobert started to pout to this level and started to be so bad, and the organization also dug in, and everybody started being such jerks about the whole situation, there's no team meal on the planet that they had. Oh, we had a team meal. Well, oh, you had a team meal. Everything's fine now. Everything's fine. You just had a team meal. But nobody said if Ben Simmons was even there or not. It's likely that he wasn't. This team is dysfunctional. Utah Jazz fans, your team is not dysfunctional. That's how you have to feel about this thing.
What I don't understand from Ben Simmons is you want to get traded, but you can't. You're making yourself untradeable. Like your behavior is causing people to go, why in the world would we ever want you?
Zero GMs.
Want to get out of Philadelphia, then play hard. I mean, really. I mean, just for the sake of, okay, I'm going to be a good soldier because I want people to know that I'm a good soldier. And I don't understand this. You see this a lot in the NBA about these players that, man, it's like if it doesn't go well for them, they kind of go in the tank and they just say, you know what? I'm going to be a problem. I'm going to be difficult. Because that's kind of how I think I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to get into a new situation. And it's like, why not just say, I'm going to swallow my ego. I'm going to swallow my pride right now. I'm going to stop being a diva. And I'm going to go play basketball to the best of my ability. I'll keep all this stuff private. And hopefully they'll work it out. Because the only one really, like you think you're really hurting the team and you think you're hurting everyone, like the only person ultimately that this impacts is you, because now people in the state of Utah, like you and I, who don't know Ben Simmons, are having a conversation about your behavior, and we're creating this image of who you are, and you're perpetuating this image of a person that no one wants to be known as. And that's something that you will carry with you the rest of your life beyond basketball. And maybe you're short-sighted enough, you don't care and you don't see it, but you gotta figure out, and someone needs to like kind of put their arm around Ben Simmons and say, buddy, look, there's a better way. There's an easier way. There's to handle all this. Otherwise, you're going to go down as just, you know, you're going to make the top of all these top 10 lists that people have of people who are the most difficult divas in NBA history.
And that's a, boy, that would be a tough list to top.
Right.
But you're getting there. You're getting there.
I mean, as bad as a guy like Dennis Rodman was, he still showed up and played bad. He understood, you know, he was crazy. He was difficult. He was all these things. But they understood how to get all those rebounds and that great defensive effort from Dennis Rodman, and he made it work.
I just wonder how on earth do you change this thing around? Because if you've got somebody like this, because the person who could put his arm around him, Joel Embiid, goes, I can't be here to babysit. So when you have like the guy on the team that everybody kind of looks at and goes, hey man, would you say something? And then he just goes, I can't. What am I supposed to do? I can't do that. This isn't my job. My job is to go out there and to get double-doubles every night. I wish that Ben Simmons would be a part team, but I can't babysit the guy and try to keep this team intact. I mean, the team has to try to go forward as it is. Look at what Wazoo's doing this week. They have to go, we had an amazing week of practice. We had an amazing day of practice. And so they're, okay, well, there you go. I mean, this is but at the same time, you go, hey, man, this is something that we have to deal with as a team. And it's such a massive distraction. I mean, here's the thing. They're going to be able to just keep – all they do know how to do is play basketball. All the Wazoo team knows is get on the court, and they can forget about all this stuff. So, I mean, hopefully.
You know who can help out Ben Simmons? T.O.
Well, oh.
Terrell Owens.
Terrell Owens?
Yeah, where he basically alienated some of probably the nicest people in the world, like Steve Young and Jeff Garcia and – Donovan McNabb and Tony Romo. I mean, all these.
Whatever, that's
good,
his quarterback, dude.
Yeah, pretty good guys. And he was a phenomenal talent. I mean, he played great, and he was good. But he really, you know, and then he goes into the NFL Hall of Fame in such a bizarre manner. Like he has his own ceremony, and he's in his own place doing his own thing. And here he's just completely alienated everybody in the world, and he just really needs to take a step back and look out into his future, and maybe a guy like T.O. could, because I guarantee you T.O. probably regrets a lot of things that he said and probably a lot of how he was when he was younger.
Sure.
And maybe some wisdom can be instilled into a guy like Ben Simmons, because it just seems like every day there's a bigger train wreck that's happening in Philadelphia.
We're going to jump out to another break here because, we've got Tom Curl here standing by, and we are super excited to be back at the Warehouse, 1825 South 3rd West here in Salt Lake City. And the best deals, not just in the state, but in the region. If you want to find a great deal on these adjustable beds, the Queen adjustable base, Tom Curl, our good friend, is here, and he is, man, you've been there and back, and here you are, and it's so good to see you. We're so glad to have you back in the store again, and thanks for having us. We appreciate you having us here today.
I'm happy to be here, and I'm glad to see you, Alex. I missed you.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
How's your family? I remember riding home one night with your boy.
I know. Tom and I used to live right by each other. I've got 6 kids now.
Did you move?
Yeah, we did. We moved up north. Yeah,
oh, you moved out of the ghetto.
Well, we just couldn't have. We had a COVID baby, man. We had to figure out how to move up north because we didn't fit anymore in our house. So there we are, moved up north. The Keery family is getting bigger, man. We're excited to.
It's good,
and we're glad that you're here, man.
I told my wife I want another baby.
You've got all these grandkids, man.
I told her, Nanette, let's have another baby, and she said, Tom, I love you. That's not happening.
Well, we're here today, and we're glad to see you. And Clayton tried to roll out the good deals, your boy.
Let's do another one that Clayton can't do.
Okay, let me hear it.
This is going to be the Alex Carey and Scott Mitchell. You mentioned either one of them.
Okay.
I have a stack, and I've been told I have like 60 of them. And these are wrought iron headboards, and I have some footboards, and if you find a matching pair, I'll do the whole deal. These headboards are typically $199 to $250. I have queens and I have kings.
Nice.
And if you find a footboard, you can have it. You'll have to get bolt-on rails to go with it, but I'm going to do this. This is the boom of the boom of the boom.
Oh, nice.
Mm. I'm talking boom.
Okay, the loud one.
How about $25?
$25?
Oh, wow.
Why would you do something like that?
Because I want to get rid of them.
See, in my mind, I always say, I know what the price could be. It's going to be like $49.99. Nope, $25.
I've got one more.
Okay.
I've got one more.
Let me hear. Whoa.
I've got a stack, and I have these mirrors. They're supposed to go on dressers or on the wall. These are beautiful framed mirrors. I've got, like, miscellaneous. I've got gorgeous walnut and beautiful cherry and white and black, and I've got tons of them. They're always $89 to $200.
Right.
How about your choice? Scott Mitchell.
The Scott Mitchell special.
Alex Keery.
Oh, there we go.
I'm even going to throw Johnny in on
I'll
this
throw
one.
Johnny oh, in.
You mentioned Johnny. Johnny is one of my I love Johnny.
He'll be the one they can remember. They'll remember his name and Scott Mitchell's name. It's fine. It's fine.
How about Johnny? Because I'm not all out of love.
Right. I got it.
$10.
Okay. $10
for $10?
Okay. He's got it. Can I say it? Can I say it?
Yeah.
Boom.
Where are the stack of mirrors?
I know, because Scott's going to walk out with four of them.
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
Okay. Last one.
Last one. Let's hear it.
Last one. This is because I love my son. He's very competitive.
He's a good boy.
He can't compete. He might be young, but I'm old.
Yeah, you got it.
I might be slow, but I'm wise.
Okay.
How about we do the 20% off, but we're going to do something else. We're going to do a custom couch.
Okay.
The ones that are $2,900, same manufacturer at our competition down the road. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The big boys.
The big stores.
Ooh.
How about you come in here? I've got some you can pick up, your choice, left-hand or right-hand chase. Choose your fabric. We'll get it made for you. Or take one of the ones we have, $12.99 instead of $3,000.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a massive
deal. I'm talking incredible. You sit on this, it's custom furniture. It's not made in Huache.
Yeah.
Which could be wherever you want it
okay,
to be.
Okay, sure.
It's made up, obviously.
Here's the deal. We want you to come down. And this is our last time to be able to talk with Tom. We're gonna cut him loose so he can get home. We want him to keep getting better. So we're glad.
Well, if my ride doesn't show up, I might do one more.
Okay, all right. We'll stay here, and we want you to come hang out with us. We're here all the way till 6 o'clock. Come hang out at the warehouse, 1825 South 3rd West here in Salt Lake City. Easy enough to find all those deals that Tom just rolled out and more.
Boom.
Just find those boom stickers, yeah, all around the store. We'll do it. Come down. It is right here. Unrivaled, day number 2 on 97.5 1280 The Zone of the Zone Sports Network.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.